Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 11. I never taught a 16-part series before. I just heard, and who said you're doing one now? I didn't say you're stopping at 16. This is First Things First, Part 16, subtitled Unjaded. Unjaded. I need to get a prop. I say, wonder what that's for. I'll show you in a little bit. Hebrews 11:6 in the J.B. Phillips New Testament says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God. And look at Matthew 6, because it goes right along with it. Verses 31 to 33 out of the Johnson paraphrase. Jesus says, again, I repeat. What do you think happened that caused him to say again? He said it once before. When you go to someone, you say again. Does it mean you told them once or you've told them a few times and you think they should have it by now? He's just saying, again, I repeat, okay? Do not live with anxiety. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for anyone who's been anxious. Jesus said, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. Doesn't say it occupies everyone's full attention. It only occupies the attention of those who forgot who they were in Christ. You're unaware of God's presence. Jesus said, I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. He's aware of all your emotional needs. He's aware of all you need because he had the Apostle Paul tell us, my God shall supply all you need. So in order for God to supply what you need, guess what there has to be? A need. So stop getting all twisted out of shape because something comes up and you need something. My God shall supply all your need. If he said it, he's aware you're going to have a need. And he's trying to get you to calm down and let you know, I got this. So I like to say it this way. Because we've been assured that God is the source of our being and he's aware of our physical needs, you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and settling all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective, which implies we don't have a proper perspective, when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. He's saying, you keep focusing on what I've told you to do. Don't concern yourself with this other stuff. I know they're there. I know what you need. You stay on mission, and these other things will take care of themselves. Giving first priority to the spirit realm is the same as saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. But we need to understand that the truth, that when we get the right perspective, all these things will take care of themselves is a foundation on which we have to build. It's the foundation on which we have to stand. is the foundation that keeps us from being shaken when something comes up. But if we don't understand it, we'll be shaken. Matthew 7, 24, I'm going to just move quickly till I get to a point. But because I taught this on a Wednesday, many of you didn't hear it, so I want you to understand this principle. Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life, doesn't just say everyone who hears. Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the flood came with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm, not because of its good looks, not because of its smooth conversation. It stood firm because of its strong foundation. See, you can talk a good game, and you can see all those good games laying by the wayside. And unfortunately, sometimes we may see some of you laying there with them because you went for the smooth conversation and didn't go with the unshakable foundation. How can I say that? Verse 26 says, but everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When it rained, now think about this. It doesn't say if it rained. It said when it rained. What does that imply? That rain is going to come. When it rained and rained. So a lot of rain is going to come. And a flood came. The wind and the waves beating upon his house, it collapsed and was swept away. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to have a proper foundation, because it's going to rain and rain, and a flood is going to come, and winds are going to be beating on you. And the only thing that's going to cause you to stand is your unshakable foundation. Your unshakable foundation. Now, we've talked about putting God first in our first priority, but there's something that's shared in Matthew that I read in Matthew 6:33 in the Johnson paraphrase. I don't want it to get lost because it's of great importance. It says you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. We're going to talk about that one Sunday or Wednesday. But this is the part. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. Why do you think Jesus said that? When you get a proper perspective. I'll give you a clue. He said, when you get a proper perspective. What does that mean? You don't have one. It means you're looking at things the wrong way. And nothing's working out because your perspective is wrong. See, if you have an improper perspective, you'll have a mess. A mess that you can't do anything about except whine and complain. And distort the words of the song. I called on your great name, Jesus, but nothing happened. And the devil's saying, see, his name's really not that great. And you offer puny resistance. Well, I think it's great. What do you mean you think it's great? Either you know it or you don't. And if you just think it, then you don't know it. And because you don't know it, ain't nothing working for you. What's a perspective? Very, very simple. The capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance. A very simple translation of perspective is, it's your point of view. It's how you see things. Jesus said, when you get a proper perspective, it's letting us know we're looking at some things the wrong way. And it's changing how we do things. See, the problem is that our perspective isn't always based on the word. Sometimes our perspective is based on things that we hear from non-spiritual people. Sometimes our perspective is based on listening to the world and what they say things are or should be. And we don't even take time to say, where does that line up with what God said? And the reason we don't do that, folks, I'm not saying it's to make anyone feel condemned. I've been guilty of this. The reason we do that is because what we're going through is real. It's very real. That was me. And because it's real, it's like magnified. It becomes even louder. And we don't persevere. See, our thoughts become jaded. Say jaded. Jaded is simply to let you know how important this is to God. I thought I was finished. And he spoke this to me. He just said, looking through jaded glasses. I'm like, jaded glasses? What is that? I heard of rose-colored glasses. Those aren't glasses that Rose wears. And so I looked up jaded. Listen to this. A state of disillusionment or sadness. You see through everything and have no illusions about what is true. You are worn out and weary. So many negative things have happened that it becomes difficult to stay positive about what once gave you hope and joy. Christian translation. You're so focused on what you're going through, you forget who you are in Christ. And it gets to the point where you almost despise being a Christian, and the words actually come out of your mouth, I was better off when I was in the world. I didn't have to put up with this. And you see everything now through jaded glasses. Jaded glasses. That means you unfairly look at or judge a situation because of your past indiscretions and or life experience. It's looking at and operating based on part of a scripture and not at all of it. And here's what I mean. I know you want me to take them off. I will in a minute. You go through a series of circumstances because usually the devil is going to try to overwhelm you with circumstances. So one thing doesn't happen. Things come in waves. And our thoughts and our mouths and our thoughts, they all become jaded. And we start meditating because we'll think, okay, maybe I should read the word. And you say, no, but the word just confirms what I'm going through. What are you talking about? Well, look at Psalm 34. Because I'm looking through jaded glasses, all I see, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm like, there it is. What was that saying? Whoops, there it is. Okay. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Maybe I'll stop being righteous and I won't be afflicted so much. I need an afflictendectomy to get rid of it. Or in John 16, here it is again. Even Jesus knew it. He said, in this world, you shall have tribulations. And I got tribulations running all over me. Well, I guess I can't do anything about it because that's what the word said. But because my vision is jaded, I can't see it all. And the reason it's jaded is because I continue to look at what's going on, folks, and I don't take the time to find out what is the word really saying. Not what I feel like it's saying, but what is it really saying to me and about me right now? Well, that's not going to change unless I do something. But before I do it, there's something I have to understand. One of the things that gets us in trouble is we don't acknowledge that there's something going on with us. We won't acknowledge it. We think we're not speaking in faith. Goliath wasn't a symptom. David didn't say, there's symptoms of Goliath out there. Goliath was very, very real. Jesus said, I have symptoms of being in anguish until death. No, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Folks, in order for the part of Psalm 34 that says, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all, afflictions have to come. Like Pastor Clinton always taught us, you want to be an overcomer? Then there are things that happen that will cause you to have to overcome. But if you're looking through jaded glasses, you're not going to see that. Why does all this stuff keep happening to me? I'm trying to do what God said. That's one of the problems. You need to take the advice of Yoda. No try, do. The attacks that you are experiencing are real. But then so is what God said about it. So you can't become jaded because the attacks are coming. They're coming, but that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. I'm going to give you a news flash, even though I already told you in Psalm 34:19, but let's look at it without the jaded glasses. First of all, when you take it off, you look better. It's okay, you can say amen to that. But once we take them off, we see the whole thing clearly, and we get a revelation that will give us the proper perspective. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So I don't care how many afflictions come. It says, now think about what it says. Does it say, but the Lord will deliver him? It said, the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You've been delivered from it before it even came. The problem is we don't know that because we're looking at it through jaded glasses. I know I heard you say, don't put those back on. Okay. Listen to the Message translation of Psalm 34:19. Because it's more of, you can see where it's talking about us. It says, disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. The disciples, it says, so often. It's probably like Jesus said, again, I repeat. Still, God is there every time. And listen to how the Passion Translation puts it. Oh, my Lord. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not be defeated by what they face. Glory to God. He will not let you be defeated by what you face. And he's talking about us. He said, even when bad things happen to the good and godly. How many in here are good and godly? Don't peek and see if no one raised their hand. But it said the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. So what comes could be annoying, but it can't defeat you. Why? God said he'll not let us be defeated. So think about this, folks. Since God will not let us be defeated, he must have everything that could possibly ever come covered. There's nothing new under the S-U-N or the S-O-N that God doesn't have covered. We're going to be attacked. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. Out of them all. Tell your neighbor, you'll be delivered out of them all. Tell them you are delivered out of them all. Now, understand this. In order to be delivered out, you already have to be in. So yes, you're going to find yourself, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go into the fire. See, what we do, we look at it, I'm sorry, but I have to put him back on. We look at the furnace and we go, wow. You going to throw me in that? And we start rationalizing. He's not asking me to do it all the time, only when his music plays. God knows my heart. He wants me to serve him. How can I serve him if I'm burned to a crisp? Whoops, there's the music. You bow down. Take off the jaded glasses and see it for what it really is. They did. They said, my God will deliver us from your furnace. I like the Message translation. And anything else you may cook up. But he said, they said, but even if he doesn't, be it known, we will not bow down. Our God will deliver us. We have a better covenant established on better promises. We can say our God has delivered us, so we're not even considering bowing down. That's not even going to be in our vocabulary. Why? Because the song said, we've been delivered. You can sing that chorus. Say, we've been delivered. We're not going to jump into the rest of the song yet. But they knew that the Lord would get them out. John 16:33, again, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And he said might, because whether you have peace or not depends on whether or not you believe it. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But if you keep looking at the stuff that's happening, you'll become jaded. And you'll stop saying, you'll start praying, trying to pray away the tribulation that Jesus said you shall have. And you're saying, no, not me. Oh, you're above the word? If Jesus says shall have, we have to stop saying won't have. He didn't say, but you just keep confessing you won't have it and you'll be fine. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now think about that scripture. In the world, you'll have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if I've overcome the world, I'm the one that's in control with what comes out of it. The circumstance can't decide to override me. That's what Jesus is saying. Be of good cheer. Some translations, be undaunted. For I've overcome the world. One translation, I believe it's the Amplified, says, I have taken away its power to harm you. Think about what that means. The world is going to pummel you, and you're not going to be harmed by it. What am I going to be doing? Whatever it was he told you to do. You're going to be like the Apostle Paul. You're being pummeled. None of these things move me. But he said he has overcome. He didn't say, be not dismayed. I will overcome. He said, I have overcome. That means it's already done. And that's the perspective we need to have. Everything that God promises is already done. We sang this morning, it may look like I'm surrounded. When your vision is jaded, it looks like you're surrounded. Clear your vision, and you see, I am surrounded by you. Yeah, it looks like I'm surrounded. I am, but I'm surrounded by you. The devil keeps saying, you're surrounded, you're surrounded, you're surrounded. And you start looking and you see all around your city, your town, your neighborhood, the enemy. And you say, ooh, I'm surrounded here. It may look like you're surrounded, but the truth is you're surrounded by him. So what do? You continue doing what you were called to do. Why? This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. And that's why in Matthew 6, 31, 33, in the Johnson translation, Jesus said, again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where shall we get our clothes? Don't keep asking, when am I going to be healed? Why is this happening to me? How long do I have to put up with this? Stop asking those things, because every time you're doing it, you're going to the drawer, you're pulling out the glasses, and you're sliding them in place. We need to be unjaded. He said, all this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. So when you pay more attention to what you're going through than whose you are, you're unaware of God's presence. You're unaware of, and that's right, Lord. You're not just unaware of his presence in the midst of the situation. You're unaware of his presence in you. Pastor Ed shared something, I believe, here last week or within the last 2 weeks. We were talking about it. He said, a woman that's pregnant, I'm told, has knowledge that there's life living inside them. They can feel it. They know it. We have the Holy Ghost living inside us. And like a pregnant woman, we should know it. We should feel it. So we should feel his presence moving. Now, I have felt the baby move. We should feel it moving. But if you're jaded, you're going to think it's indigestion. Because you're going to try and rationalize it. The devil's going to try and get you to rationalize it away. Now, here's the question. How does what the scripture says, when you get a proper perspective? How do you get a proper perspective? I heard someone say his word. That's partially correct. And I know you're wondering, how could that be partially correct? You don't just need his word. You need a revelation as to what that word means. You need to have a revelation. The revelation has to be seen, heard, understood, and acted on. When that happens, all of that nagging stuff that's been trying to plague you will take care of itself, because that revelation has given you a proper perspective. What proper perspective? That I'm in Christ. That many of the afflictions, I'm righteous, so I'm going to have many afflictions, but the Lord delivereth me, has delivered me from them all. Yes, I live in this world, so tribulations are present, but I'm of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. This is how I fight my battles. The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 9, is the Amplified Classic. This is an account of what we know as Paul's thorn. It said, "To keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn." Now, mind you, the purpose of the thorn was to keep him from getting, from receiving, from understanding, from being able to put in practice the revelations that he was receiving. Because he used the term in here, excessively exalted, but if he gets the revelation and understanding, guess what he's going to do with it? Tell folks and get them free. And the enemy is like, we can't let that happen. Paul said, listen to what he said. He's got this thorn. And he says what it is. A splinter in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me to keep me from being excessively exalted. The devil wants people to say, how can he be so anointed? Look what he's going through. How can he lay hands on the sick and get healed? He needs healing himself. Three times, Paul said, I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. He begged. That means he's probably in tears. Lord, I can't take this anymore. Please take this away. What are the people going to think? How am I going to tell them that you're faithful? Begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. Sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. To bear the trouble, not get out of the trouble, not run away from the trouble, but to endure manfully. That means in strength and courage and power. That's what manfully means. Notice what God didn't do. He didn't say, okay, Paul, I got this. Satan, take your hands off my son. Did you notice God never spoke to Satan? He never spoke to the circumstance. He didn't command anyone. He didn't bind anyone. He gave Paul a revelation and left it up to Paul to receive it and do what should be done with that type of information. Father, take this thing away from me. I can't go on any longer. My grace is sufficient for you. My loving mercy, my loving kindness, strength, mercy is enough. Paul heard those words and they started coursing through his body. The glasses came off, threw them away. And he said, wait a minute. I'm going to glory in my weaknesses and infirmities that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell on me. This is how I fight my battles. I'm not even going to mention the thorn anymore. How do you think I know that that's probably what happened? Because as I've said to you on a number of occasions, I have found no scripture that said, and God removed the thorn. What happened? The revelation from God that his grace is enough. That revelation caused the Apostle Paul to have a change in perspective. And now he's looking at things through a proper perspective, and it just worked itself out. How? It worked itself out of his life, out of his care, out of his concern. Why? His perspective changed because his thinking was now unjaded. He wasn't thinking about anything else but what God said. And let's look for a moment. I'm already out of time. Well, thank you. I'm glad one person doesn't mind. But we started at 10, so we're still going to get out of here early. Listen to this. When you are in a position where you're looking at things through jaded glasses, you're in the flesh. Because flesh is not spiritual, flesh is not kingdom, flesh is carnal. And before Paul got the revelation, his first priority was relief, not the spirit dimension. And if we you know, search our hearts, we'll know our first priority sometimes is I need to just feel better. I want to be able to just relax. His focus was flesh, not kingdom. And his perspective was, I can't go on. God, you got to do something. Anybody ever felt like that? Yep, I have. And he begged and pleaded. But listen to, he said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't say, don't worry about it, Paul. I'm going to give you grace, and the grace I give you will be enough. No, he said, my grace is sufficient. So that has to mean Paul had something that he wasn't aware of. He already had the grace of God. And God was letting him know, the grace that I have given you already is enough. It's sufficient against any danger. So you shouldn't care where you have to go or what you have to face. You shouldn't care about the reputation of the attacker. So stop reading about it. You shouldn't care about it. God's grace is sufficient against any danger. So if it has the possibility of presenting a danger to you, God's grace is taking care of it. He said, His grace enables us. So that means there can never be anything more powerful than the grace of God. That means there's not anything that can beat you down. Because God's grace is sufficient. And he said something, oh my goodness. He said something that would make me want to be weak all the time. Because the time I'm going right through it. He said, my strength, the Amplified Bible says, shows its full expression in your weakness. The strength of God, it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big or how little. Many of you, you know my position, shoot the mouse with an elephant gun. Well, that's what God said, because he said his strength is made, gives it, shows its full expression in weakness. He didn't say in great weakness. Whether it's a little weakness or a big weakness, it gets the full strength of God. So yes, God shoots the mouth with an elephant gun. Because all of his power is in manifestation regardless of the size of the circumstance. Because he said his strength shows it, gives its full expression in our weakness. His mercy is enough. Enough for what? Any danger. Anything that comes. So take off the glasses. Get your vision unjaded. Get your thoughts unjaded. Stop the woe is me stuff. Stop the woe is me. I'm going through this. Lord, I gave you my whole life. Lord, I gave you this. Lord, I gave up this. I did that. I did it. He knows what you did. He said, I gave my only son. And because I gave my only son, you need to get up and stop whining, because he took care of all of that. He said, this is how I fight my battles. I make it so when it looks like you're surrounded by me. So instead of whining and complaining, start displaying boldness, courage, strength, determination. Develop the mindset, it shall be done. Whatever the Lord said to me, it shall be done. But I'm in a wheelchair. Where did it say, do it only if you can walk? Nick Voyachek was born with no arms or legs. Tens of thousands of people get sick. He leads to Christ every year. Didn't stop. Played football, played soccer, swam. Has three children, I think. Four children. When it looked like he was surrounded, he knew he was surrounded by. What was Pastor Clinton's song he used to play all the time? He said, growing up. I think it was One I Believe. It was one of the songs, and he was so excited to come here and meet him because he said he sang that song. When you get it, just tell me because I'm winding down. Right. When we did The Name of the Lord is a Strong Tower, the righteous run into it, and they are. How many of you are righteous? You're surrounded by a strong tower.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because you ran into it. That's why we changed that song, Your Great Name. That's why we changed the lyrics to When I Called on Your Name to Because I Called Your Name. We have to stop thinking we're in a situation by ourselves until I cry Jesus and Jesus will come on Silver, hop on his horse and come riding through. Oh no, he's with us. He's in us. We're always surrounded by it.
Yes, sir.
There's healing because you called that name.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He didn't say, with my stripes, you will be healed. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call on the name? Then you don't have to keep calling. I'm a saint. I have the life of God in me. And it's sufficient. His grace surrounds me like I'm inside of a tent. And it's enough. I need to end this. I could keep going. Sometimes we waste time being very demonstrative. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I said I rebuke you. R-E-B-U-K-E. Instead of doing what God told you to do. Father, I thank you that I have strength to keep going. Because your word says, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but you delivered me out of them all. So I'm delivered from this. And I keep going and I'm going to do everything that you told me to do. See, why focus on the enemy when you can focus on God? Because remember, as I told you before, God never said, messenger of Satan, release my son in my name. No, when Paul received Christ, he was free. Who the Son sets free. You have to take off the jaded glasses put on you by the circumstance and start seeing the word for what it is. The most powerful source ever. Nothing more powerful than the word of God. So it's because of the word of God that I can close with this very definitive statement. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. And when you get the proper perspective, and it doesn't even say the, it says when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. That lets me know, and I'm letting you know, all you need to do is what God told you to do. That's all you need to do. And let his grace, his loving kindness, his strength, his mercy, his power be enough. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Yes, you've been walking around wearing jaded glasses. I've known it, and I suppose you've probably known it also. And I know all of the reasons and all of the excuses, as do you, because you've said them. But none of that matters now. None of that matters now. You have received revelation. And you know what I really said. You know what I really mean. You know who you really are. On your feet and get to work. On your feet and get to work. Give no place to trials, troubles, tribulations. Give them no place. Are they going to be there? Yes, they are. But they have no place in you, and they have nothing to do with what I told you. I need you to do what I told you. I need you to dig up your talent and put it to work. See, this is how I fight my battles. I created you, and I gave you authority. I gave you control. I gave you health. I gave you prosperity. I gave you healing. I give you everything that you need. Now get up and do the work. Knowing that whatever you do, you're doing it in me. We are inseparable. Nothing can ever separate you from my love. Nothing can ever separate you from my grace. And nothing can ever overpower my love or my grace that I have for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.